Sudden infant death syndrome and sudden unexpected infant death are leading causes of death in babies 1 month to 1 year of age. Most SIDS or SUID deaths happen when babies are between a month and 4 months of age. We need to know more about what to do to prevent as many of these tragic deaths as we can. Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones, Executive Director at SCAN of Northern Virginia, and my guest today is Tracy Leonard with SCAN's Operation Safe Babies. Today, we'll discuss the importance of safe sleep for babies, including its role in preventing SIDS. We'll touch on simple rules parents can follow when putting a baby to sleep, as well as other new safe sleep trends and recommendations. So let's start by defining what we mean when we say SIDS. What exactly are we talking about?
Well, again, SIDS is the sudden unexplained death of an infant. It is typically when they are 1 year or under. It is the third leading cause of infant death in the United States. And there's no known cause of SIDS, but there are several things that parents and caregivers can do to reduce the risk of SIDS.
So a lot of this is still sort of uncertain in the medical world, but what you advocate for is ways to minimize the risk, right? To help increase the chances that your baby's going to survive.
Correct. There are many things that we are not able to control. SIDS can be at a greater risk for those parents who are teens or have pregnancies too close together or have multiple births. But then there are things that we can control, and that is what we should focus on.
Great. Well, let's dive in and talk about those things that we can control. What can a parent do to reduce the risk for their baby?
There are several catchy campaigns that are out there. One is back to sleep, always putting the baby on their back to sleep. And that also means that the baby should be in their own crib, not an adult bed, not a couch, not a car seat. The crib should be bare, and that's another one, is to have no blankets or pillows or stuffed animals in that. And we also need to make sure that the baby's sleeping on a firm surface, a mattress or a pad that is designed to go into the crib, not extra pillows or extra comfy looking bedding. And one other thing that parents really need to do to lower their baby's risk of SIDS is to keep cigarette smoke away from babies, because that can be something that can definitely increase the chance of SIDS.
Because what we're really talking about is we think that suffocation literally is one of the leading reasons that contributes to SIDS. And so whether it's cigarette smoke that sort of gets in the way of those tiny, tiny nasal passages, or just getting caught up in a blanket or a soft mattress or a pillow or that kind of a thing is what we think, based on today's research, might be leading to those tragic deaths.
That's correct. We really want to advocate for removing all obstacles from the crib. Anything that a wiggly baby, as they're growing and learning their body and learning to turn and flip, that we take those obstacles out of the way. And that even includes sleep positioners, hats, really keeping it bare and very minimal.
Right. And so that image we have in the store of the cute crib that's full of cute little bumper pads and blankets and stuffed animals, that's not actually what you're advocating for, is it?
It's not. And it is hard as a parent to see some of those images on TV, in the stores, in catalogs, and to assume that that is okay. And it's really not. There are fortunately some states that it is against the law to have those setups in the stores. It's something that every state should consider. But you send mixed messages, and it's hard to sell just a plain crib. But when we're really talking about a life or death issue, it's really important to get that message across to parents.
Absolutely. So what about swaddling? And maybe start with what we mean by swaddling.
Sure. Swaddling, when you take a blanket and or something deemed okay for swaddling the baby, and you kind of wrap them up tight. And we see that in the hospitals. That's what the nurses are doing. They put those babies in the nursery and they're all nice and swaddled and they look so comfortable. And swaddling really is okay for newborns to about 2 months old, or as soon as that baby does start wiggling around a little bit much. Then we do want to remove that obstacle from the crib. You can certainly swaddle when the baby is awake, when you're feeding, you know, for comfort and for other things. But really, you know, for overnight sleeping and as you're trying to get the baby to sleep for long times, you really should consider, you know, not doing it, especially after that 2 months of age. There are products out there that are like a sleep sack where you can put the baby in and zip them up. And those are definitely appropriate. They're made special to, you know, they're cut in a special way with the arms and around the neck and, you know, having the zipper, that those can be something that can be used for a baby.
And as far as mixed messages, we've also talked about the little knit caps that they sometimes put on babies in the hospital and how that might be sending a mixed message.
Right. And there are a couple things when we're talking to new parents and training caregivers that we make sure that they know. Well, in the hospital, those babies are monitored 24/7 and they really do have a close eye on them. And hospitals are cold. We all know as we visit or our patients in the hospital. But again, once that baby starts wiggling and moving around, that hat becomes an obstacle in their way. And it could come loose. It could cover their face. They could suffocate from it. It's just, it could keep them too warm, keeping their temperature so high that they are not able to arouse themselves from sleep. So we do need to advocate for not using hats as well.
You also mentioned a few minutes ago about car seats. And I think a lot of parents think of car seats as designed to best protect their baby. But really, sleeping in a car seat or a swing is not something you recommend. Talk about that a little bit.
That's right. The baby is not on their back. They're not flat on their back. You know, you put a baby in a car seat for a ride, or many parents will say, well, it's the only way I'll get my baby to sleep. But when you leave the baby like that, what happens is something called positional asphyxiation. And really, their windpipe becomes obstructed and they can stop breathing, and it can be a form of suffocation as well. So, you know, you may take the baby on a ride and they fall asleep, but then once you get home or you get somewhere, you take them out of the car seat and you lay them down. If they fall asleep in the swing, then you take them out of the swing to lay them down for the rest of their nap.
Which, honestly, for lifelong sleep training is a good thing, too, for babies to learn how to be alone in their crib and be good with that.
That's right. And to get themselves to sleep. And if they wake up, to learn how to get themselves back to sleep again.
If you're just joining us, this is Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, along with my coworker, Tracy Leonard, who runs our Operation Safe Babies program. So what about talking to the other people who care for baby?
It's really important. I think parents get a lot of these messages in the hospital, you know, from other caregivers, hopefully from pediatricians and their own doctors. But it doesn't mean that those messages are getting to grandparents, caregivers, babysitters, aunts, uncles, anybody who else might be taking care of the baby. So it's really important that parents learn to advocate for their babies right from the beginning and knowing that we're going to practice safe sleep. And we're going to make sure that everybody in our baby's life practices safe sleep as well. Sometimes what will happen is the parents do it and they have safe sleep and they're practicing at home, but then the child goes to an in-home child care provider or a babysitter or even a child care center, and there's no consistency. So the messages really do need to be on the back all the time in every sleep situation.
And again, it's a great parenting skill to learn how to advocate for your own child. So we need to feel comfortable instructing the people who are going to care for a child with what our personal rules are about how our child is cared for.
That's right. Practicing early makes it easier for the whole life of the child. When some things get a little trickier or a little harder, you've learned how to be an advocate for your child.
But I'm guessing it's a little easier to instruct that 17-year-old you've hired to babysit than it is to instruct your Aunt Louise, who raised 5 kids and 10 grandkids, and they all turned out fine, right? So what are some tips you give to particularly young parents, maybe, who have to go up against a family member who a generation ago we had different guidance for?
That's right. Safe sleep and the back to sleep has only been around for 20 years. So many of us slept on our sides or on our tummies. and turned out just fine. And that is an argument. So we do make sure and we provide tools that these new moms can give and can share and to make it conversational and to let them know identify that I understand mom or grandma that, you know, that's how it was. But now through studies and research and science, we know this is the best way. And SIDS rates have gone down since this, in these last 20 years of advocating for back to sleep. So giving the parents that information, and some need a tool, a pamphlet or a fact sheet or something to kind of help that conversation, or even just to share it and say, take a look at this and let's talk. There are plenty of great videos out there as well that parents can share and can watch with a grandparent or another caregiver to make sure that they're understanding the messages and that they respect that what they did and the choices, but now we know more information and we need to, we really need to take that into consideration.
So there's two things that have been in the news lately, and we have just a couple minutes left, so I want to make sure we touch on those. The American Academy of Pediatrics came out with some new safe sleep guidelines. What was different about those?
Many things are the same, which is great. We know we're doing what we're supposed to be doing for babies to have their safest sleep. But the biggest difference is the recommendation that infants should sleep in the same room as their parents, but on a separate surface for the first year of life, ideally. And if not for the first year, at least the first 6 months. And that's known to decrease the rate of SIDS and sleep-related deaths by as much as 50%. So allowing the baby to be in the same room and room sharing is very important and really allows parents, the comfort and, monitoring of the infant in real time, facilitating feedings and breastfeeding, but knowing that when it's time to go to bed, that the baby goes into its own bed, just like mom and dad go into theirs.
And then we just have a minute left, but we've heard a lot about the cardboard box trend. So briefly, what are you hearing about the cardboard box idea?
This one will be interesting to watch. We know other countries are doing it. The Cribs for Kids and the American Academy of Pediatrics do not recommend it right now because the cardboard boxes are not regulated. There's nothing to say, the strength of the box and what should be done. So until there's more research and that on those, we still recommend a crib or something that is designed and made for babies.
Great. Safe sleep is a critical part of nurturing an infant. Simple tips like always putting baby on her back in a firm, empty crib or bassinet are the first few steps to protecting her future. And if you have questions, ask them. Contact local parenting resources like hospitals and libraries to get connected with the answers and the support you need to keep your baby safe. This has been Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and I want to thank Tracy Leonard from our own Operation Safe Babies for joining me to talk about this very important topic. Remember, parenting can be tough, but asking for help doesn't have to be. For more information about safe sleep for infants, as well as other parenting challenges, visit the SCAN website at scanva.org.